Hello, welcome to Pretty Good for a Girl. I'm your host, Tay.
I'm Sid.
And if you're new, welcome. If you got to see our, if you've listened to our previous episode, welcome back.
Hey, guys.
So, in this episode, we are going to be discussing, even though it's a little light now, NCAA March Madness Women's Tournament and the national champions. So without further ado, let's just get right into it.
Hooray!
Okay, so national champions, as you all probably know, are the South Carolina Gamecocks.
Mm-hmm.
They won 87-75 over the Iowa Hawkeyes, and they had a perfect undefeated season.
Yeah, which is very rare.
Yes, they went 38-0. Very impressive.
I think so.
And they're one of 10 total teams, one of 5 programs, to have a perfect record.
Mm-hmm.
And UConn has 6 of those teams.
That's a lot.
That is a lot. So now that South Carolina is joining the list, the total is UConn with 6, Baylor with 1, Tennessee with 1, Texas with 1, and South Carolina with 1. And I guess we could do the years. And you want to do honors of telling us all the years? That you can start with UConn, and I can do the rest.
UConn, Baylor, they're 1.
No, you do the years UConn got it. Undefeated season. What do you want me to do, UConn?
94, 95, 01, 02, 08, 09, and 09, 10. That was UConn.
Oh, and 13, 14, as well as 15, 16.
Oh yeah.
Which, that's a lot.
That is a lot. Baylor, they got theirs 11, 12. They were 40-0. South Carolina, obviously, this year, 23-24. Tennessee, with their 1, was 97-98. They were 39-0. Texas, with their 1, 85-86, 34-0.
And they were the 5th national championship to be played ever.
Yeah.
And so there's a pretty big gap between the first undefeated season to the second one, considering we go from the mid-80s until the mid-90s for another perfect season.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And just to make this clear, I did not put the records for all the UConn teams because that's a lot of writing, and I did not feel like writing that out, to be completely honest with you.
Yeah.
And for the first time ever, the women's national championship game had a higher viewership than the men's national championship game.
Obvious.
Which was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Let's see. The viewership for the women's game was 18.7 million average, with a peak of 24 million.
Mm.
While the men's average was 14.8 million.
Mm.
That's a lot.
Big difference.
The most outstanding player was Camila Cardoso from South Carolina, which is not surprising.
6'7", 6'8".
She's very good. And we also have the all-tournament team here.
Paige Buckers from UConn, Caitlin Carr from Iowa, Tessa Johnson from South Carolina, and Hannah, I don't know how to say her last name, sorry, from Iowa.
And now that we've said all of that, I guess we should break down the tournament. We're not going to say every single team and every single score and how each game went, because that would just take way too long.
And you don't want to hear it.
And you probably don't want to hear it. So we're just going to go with the winners of each game and whatnot. But first, I want to mention that total in-person attendance for all the games combined, which was 436,055. And that is a record for the women's tournament as far as in-person attendance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we have the, so let's go with the rounds. So we have the first four, which really isn't a technical round, but it does determine who gets in these blank spots. This has been more recent, I think since 2011 they started doing this, because it used to be just 64 and they decided to do 68 teams to match the men's bracket. But after the first four, we had the actual first round. Then we had the second round, the Sweet 16, the Elite 8, Final Four, and then the National Championship. And I'm going to let Cindy tell you who played in the first four.
We have Sacred Heart versus Presbyterian, Holy Cross versus UT Martin, Auburn versus Arizona, Vanderbilt versus Columbia. Now, in those, I forgot to tell you who won.
So for the ones who won, we have Presbyterian being Sacred Heart, Holy Cross being UT Martin, Arizona being Auburn, and Vanderbilt being Columbia, and we do not have the scores for those games because I didn't have the time to go digging and find it. So that's that. But like I said, there's a total of 68 teams, and now we're going to give you the scores for the first round. We're going to start with Sydney telling us about Region 1.
Okay, first round, we had South Carolina winning 91-39. Big number. North Carolina winning 59-56, Oklahoma 73-70, Indiana 89-56, Nebraska 61-59, Oregon State 73-51, Ole Miss 67-55, and Notre Dame 81-67. Those are all the winners for the first round.
First region,
sorry.
And they have them labeled like Albany 1, Albany 2, Portland 3, Portland 4. And it's kind of out of order. But the next one I want to do is go to the Portland 4, so Region 4 technically. We have Texas winning 82-42. Alabama winning 82-74. Utah winning 68-54. Gonzaga winning 75-56. Tennessee winning 92-63. NC State winning 64-45. Iowa State, not to be confused with Iowa, winning 93-86, and Stanford winning 79-50, my bad.
Albany 2, we have
Region 2.
Yes. Iowa 91-65, West Virginia 63-53, Colorado with the win 86-72, Kansas State 78-65, Middle Tennessee 71-69, LSU 70-60, and Creighton 87-73, and UCLA 84-55.
And now for region, Portland 3, region 3, we have Southern California winning 87-55, Kansas winning 81-72 in overtime, which is only one of two overtime games in this entire tournament, fun fact. Baylor winning 80-63, Virginia Tech 92-49, Syracuse 74-69, UConn 86-64, Duke 72-61, and Ohio State 80-57. This, I always think the first round is so interesting because there's, well, the first couple rounds are always interesting because you have these higher seed teams getting beat by some team they shouldn't be beat by.
Yeah, and it's,
and then you see some teams that you, most people didn't keep up with at all because no one mentioned anything that they did.
Yeah, and they end up doing super good sometimes.
Cool. Okay, now we're going to go to the second round. We'll start again with Region 1.
We have... Oh, South Carolina 88-41, Indiana 75-68, Oregon State 61-51, and Notre Dame 71-56.
Now for Portland 4, otherwise known as Region 4, we have Texas, who won 65-54, Gonzaga, who won 77-66, NC State, who won 79-72, and Stanford winning 87-81, which is the second overtime game in the tournament. And so, one of two. And they both happened in the first couple rounds. That's funny.
Albany 2.
Yep. Region 2.
Region 2. We have Iowa 64-54. Colorado 63-50. LSU winning 83-56. And UCLA winning 67-63.
And now for Portland 3, otherwise known as Region 3, we have Southern California winning 73-55. Baylor winning 75-72. That's a close one. UConn winning 72-64, and Duke winning 75-63. Mm-hmm. And now that we're done the second round, let's move on to the Sweet 16. I love the name of that. It's so creative.
Thank you. So sweet. we have South Carolina winning 79-75, Oregon State winning 70-65,
and Portland 4, Region 4. We have Texas winning 69-47. And NC State winning 77-67.
Albany 2.
Region 2.
We have Iowa winning 89-68 and LSU winning 78-69.
And then finally, we have Region 3, Portland 3, with Southern California winning 74-70, another pretty close game. And UConn, I think this is one of the closest games of the tournament, mm-hmm. winning 53-54. Wait. I'm not sure if I put that down right. Hold on. Sydney's going to ramble a little bit about the tournament while I go check that.
while she goes and checks that, I don't really know what to talk about.
But this region even was most interesting.
Region does most interesting.
Well, I thought, you know what? My favorite part of the bracket, I really like the Elite Eight. I think it sounds cool, first of all. But when you go to the Elite Eight, I feel like you find teams that, at that point, they're all great. And they all, like, obviously every team wants it, you know. But when you get to Elite Eight, those are, like, the eight teams. Like, they are the top teams, I feel like, that in the Final Four.
Okay, I'm back. I found out that it was 53-45. I just mixed up two numbers.
Silly goose.
Yeah.
Okay, well, for the Elite Eight, which I was just talking about, is my favorite because, you know, I feel like those are super good teams. Especially these four that won.
I feel like it's when the tournament gets super fun to watch.
I feel like that too.
Like, the early on is the most interesting, but this part is the most fun.
And these four teams that won are probably the best, I feel like. We have South Carolina with the win, 70-58.
Then we have NC State winning 76-66.
Iowa with the win, 94-87.
And then UConn winning 80-73.
Yeah.
The Elite Eight's so fun.
Yeah, I like it. And it's for sure the Elite.
Oh, for sure. Then we got the Final Four. And for the previous ones, we just talked about the winners. But for Final Four and the National Championship, we're going to tell you who actually competed and whatnot. So. Mm-hmm.
Okay, for the Final Four, the first game was South Carolina versus NC State. South Carolina won it 78-59.
And then our second game was Iowa versus UConn, which was a very exciting game. It had 14.2 million average viewers, peaked at 17 million, which up until the national championship, I'm pretty sure, made it the most watched basketball game on ESPN college or professional.
That's really good.
Yeah. It's pretty good. Now, I guess we could do the awards this season that were earned, because there's a lot of awards. Coach Don Staley has at least three? No, two. But for the Naismith Awards, Coach of the Year was Don Staley. Player of the Year was Caitlin Clark, no surprise there. And defensive player of the year was Cameron Brink.
Oh, I like him.
Cameron Brink's super pretty.
Unrelevant to basketball, but she is super pretty.
Yes, yes.
And she can ball, obviously.
Obviously.
Now, AP players and coaches of the year.
Coach Don Stanley.
Stanley.
I keep saying Stanley.
I like it better. Say Stanley.
Players, Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark also got the Nancy. Correct me. I don't want to say this wrong.
The Nancy Lieberman Point Guard Award. Yeah, Caitlin Clark.
Oh my gosh. Ann Myers Drysdale Shooting Guard. It was Juju Watkins from Southern California. The Cheryl Miller Small Forward was Madison Booker from Texas. The Katrina McLean Power Forward, Kiki.
I don't know how to say that. I don't want to mess it up. Sorry.
She's from Stanford. I'm so sorry. Lisa Leslie Center was Cameron Brink from Stanford.
That's all we have as far as the NCAA tournament. I forgot to mention with the championship game with South Carolina versus Iowa.
South Carolina won, obviously.
Yes, and Don Staley is the first black coach, male or female, that's an important part of this, to win 3 NCAA titles.
That's
really good.
It is.
I don't know how many white people have even done that, to be fair. That's a high achievement for any coach.
Oh, yeah. Any coach.
So, Sid, what game stood out to you in this tournament?
Stood out.
Or what was your favorite game to watch?
I liked watching LSU and Iowa play.
Oh, that was a good game.
I really like LSU. LSU's team. So I thought that was a really good game and good matches between players. It was really a good fight between both teams, I feel like.
Oh, yeah. I really liked the Iowa-UConn game.
Yeah, that was a really good game,
too. Was an ultra-competitive game because you had two Team USA teammates playing each other with Caitlin Clark and Paige Becker.
I like the LSU-Iowa game because I feel like it was just a redo. Not redo, but like a recap.
Iowa's revenge against LSU for last year.
Yeah, I really liked that.
Yes. Any teams that surprised you?
Any team that surprised me?
That they made it.
I'll be honest, I didn't hear much about NC State until this tournament.
I know, NC State kind of surprised everybody, I feel.
Because I knew they were a good team, I just didn't know they were
that caliber good.
That caliber.
But I think they got shown up in the semifinals for sure. I mean, against 78-59.
Yeah, but that's South Carolina.
That's rough. But you gotta give them credit where credit's due. They did good.
They did really good.
But I think that's all we can talk about with
that.
I mean, tons of interesting stuff happened. Tons of record broken. Tons of viewership that happened. I mean,
yeah.
What else can you say?
Yeah. Away from the championship, I saw a TikTok today about how Caitlin Clark is starting her, I'm not sure if it's her first practice with the Indiana Fever, but I saw a video of her going to it. I would like to
mention
that.
Oh, yeah, I saw a little clip of her first shooting practice with the team.
Yes, I did. I saw that, too.
I'm excited to see what she does.
Yeah,
I'm excited to see what all the draft.
I'm excited to see her.
All the draftees have done.
Oh, yeah.
I would have put that in there, but I could not.
I like the WNBA draft, how Camila Cardoso and Angel Reese got drafted to the same team.
Yes, that's going to be interesting.
That is good. I feel like that's really good because they're both good, aggressive players.
Yes.
And I think it's also kind of funny because they had
beef on
the court.
Considering the SEC championship game.
They had some beef on the court.
Considering what happened then. I mean, it was a good game as far as
I'm
concerned, but...
It was a great game.
And the fight just made it more interesting.
Oh, yeah.
But for other news in women's sports, LSU Gymnastics won its first national championship in program history.
Yeah.
Ever.
LSU's on fire. They've got gymnastics, their basketball last year. What was it? Their baseball team?
Baseball team.
LSU's...
Although baseball's kind of not on the same par, but that's to be expected once you drop so many players.
Oh, yeah. But I'm talking about when they won it. They've won so many... Recently, like in the past couple years, they've won...
They've become a powerhouse. They're pretty elite.
Yeah.
And just about anything they do.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Haley Van Lith officially signed the papers with TCU.
She's going to be a Horned Frog.
She is. That's official now. It wasn't official when we talked about it last time, but she signed the papers, and she said it was official.
Yeah, so I'm excited to see what she'll do there. I was hoping she would have done better with LSU, but I just don't think it was the right fit for her. On May, now we have some upcoming events. From May 3rd to May 5th, the NCAA Beach Volleyball Championship is happening. quit laughing. And then on May 6th to May 8th, we have the NCAA Golf Championship. And obviously, that's not all the events happening in women's sports. So feel free to let us know any other events, and we'll include it and give you a shout out in the next episode.
Yep.
Because there's so much happening with sports, and there's no way I can get all the information in time for an episode. So if we feel like we missed anything, feel free to let us know.
100% then.
We're human and we're new to this. So any news or any upcoming events that you want us to mention, just let us know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, we have social media accounts now.
Hooray!
Yay! We have Insta.
Instagram. Instagram. We have like the Twitter, or what is it called now?
Twitter or X. And we have TikTok. The Instagram. Why do I keep pausing when I say that?
Instagram.
Instagram and TikTok handles are the same. At pretty.good.4.a.girl. And then our Twitter handle is at goodforagirl24. So please give us a follow on those, and please download this podcast and let your friends know about us.
Of course.
We would love to have more listeners.
Yes.
And please follow all those pages. And
And if you want to follow my socials too, Cindy Welch.
Oh, yeah. Our accounts are tagged in our Instagram. So if you want to follow our personal socials, go for it.
I would love to get... You know,
I don't post very often, just to fair warning.
You can just look at my prom photos.
Oh, yeah, you have the prom. Prom was, it looked like you had fun.
Oh, yeah.
All right, thanks for listening. Download the podcast, share it with friends, follow our socials, and we'll see y'all next time.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.